16. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. Psalm about a pathway of eternal life. I'm going to read it. It's just 11 verses. Begin with verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Yes, Lord. Again, as we continue through your word, Lord, we ask that you open our hearts, and may your word find good soil. You plant the seed of the incorruptible word of God. Bring forth life, Lord, and fruit, and your plan, your purpose. Lord, we thank you. We commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 16 is known as a michtam, which is, it means a prayer or a meditation. Psalm 56 through 60 are all michtams also. It's a psalm of David, we know. It's a psalm about Jesus, we know. And it's a psalm that really speaks of a pathway of joy, of life, of eternal life. The path of life. He says, you will show me the path of life. And in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. It's a psalm of David. And, you know, we see first, you know, off as the psalm opens in verse 1. It's a cry, a plea. David's crying. Preserve me, O Lord. Keep me. Protect me. Keep me. All the way. Keep me, Lord. As he cries to be kept. And really, it's based on, you know, the contingency of his own faith. For he makes the plea. He says, for in you, in verse 1, I put my trust. I believe in you, Lord. I have faith in you. Thus, keep me, Lord, as he cries out to the Lord to be kept. This word for trust in the Hebrew is mentioned 152 times in the Old Testament. The New Testament word that replaced the Old Testament word for trust is faith. It's believing. I believe in him. I believe in you, Lord. I have faith in you. We're called to put our trust in him. Now, you remember back in Psalm 2. You don't have to go there. I'll just read it. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in the Lord. Called to put our trust, our faith, and our belief in the Lord. As David says, hey, I believe in you, Lord. Keep me. Preserve me. Second thing, notice in the psalm, he speaks of his own life. He speaks of his soul. Verse 2, he says, O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Notice Lord, first mentioned, is in all capitals. For he's saying, I said to my soul, you are Jehovah. And the second word for Lord, it really means master. Lord Jehovah, you are my master. He speaks of his own life, his own faith. He mentions in verse 2, my goodness is nothing apart from you. A better translation would be, I have no goodness but you. The Amplified Version, I have no goodness beside you or beyond you. You're every bit of my goodness, or the exposure to my and of my goodness. As David has a good concept, really. In verse 3, he speaks of, continuing speaking of his life, he speaks of his circulation, his friends. So the saints, the excellent ones that are on the earth, these are the ones I have my delight in. Hey, I'm hanging out with your children, Lord. Preserve me. I have faith in you. I make my delight in your people. David, as he calls out to the Lord and prays to the Lord. You know, there's a lot to be told about a person. You can find out the truth of a person by the company he keeps, by his friends. You examine his friends, you find out about him. David's saying, hey, I hang out with your children, Lord. Who we're attracted to, or who we enjoy the company of, really speaks a lot of who, and you know, who we are and our character. You know, who we want to be with. Part of the marriage counseling, you know, when we counsel the young couples that are getting married, you know, probing if they're really born again, if they know the Lord. Now, how many friends do you have that are born-again Christians? Strong born-again Christians. Now, how many friends do you share that you have that are strong again, born-again Christians? You know, the company we keep. And David is saying, Lord, your children are my delight. It's what I like to do. Hang out with them. Focus on them. It's my circulation. Hanging out with your children. In verse 5 and 6, he goes on, continuing to talk about his life. My portion, Lord, you're my portion, my inheritance. My lot, my cup. He uses them four words. You know, actually referring to, you know, when Joshua went in the promised land, took the promised land to possess the promised land. Following, you know, the possession of the promised land, he was to cast lots among the tribe and then distribute and divide up the promised land among the tribes. David is saying, you know, you, Lord, are my inheritance. You're my parcel. You're my place. You're my land. You're my portion. You're my cup. You're my lot. My inheritance, my allotment, my allowance. You're the hand that I've been dealt. You, Lord, you're my portion. As David recounts, you know, his life, his friends, his relationship to God, Lord, Master, Jehovah, you're my master. He, you know, mentions his life as a whole. Lord, you've given me a good inheritance. My lot, the hand I hold, what you've done, for what you have for me is good. You're my portion, Lord. You know, work for the Lord doesn't pay much, but the retirement plan is way out of this world. And David had that mindset. You know, he was blessed. And, you know, my portion, you're my inheritance. You're my cup, that what I drink out of. You're my lot. And it's good. I accept it. In verse 8, continuing, talking about his life, he says, you're my focus. He says, I put the Lord ever before me. You know, I'm focusing on the Lord. He pops up on the screen in my mind. He's constantly on the screen in my mind, David says. He's the occupation of my thoughts. I set you always before me, Lord. Job stated in chapter 31, he says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? You're my focus, Lord, David says. I've set you before me. David goes on, not only talking about, crying and praying to the Lord, based upon his faith, speaking of his life. He's also the hope of his future. David had some hope that somehow God was going to raise him up from Sheol. He said, you're not going to keep my Sheol. In verse 10, he says, you will not leave my soul in Sheol. You're not going to leave me. You know, Sheol is a Hebrew word that's translated often grave and misunderstood often by many as the end. You know, you think of a grave, you think of being in a cemetery. You think as the living activity ceases. That's not what the Bible talks about. The Bible tells us that there's a conscious awareness in the afterlife, in one dimension or the other. Sheol, the Old Testament place, and the New Testament, it's referred to as Hades. Before Christ died on the cross and was risen, the Bible says that Hades was divided into two sections. Abraham's bosom was a big gulf fixed in between. And then those who were in everlasting torment. Hell is another title for Hades. He said, you're not going to leave me in Sheol, in the grave. Where in Psalms, the Bible says about Sheol, it's where the wicked are turned to. In Ezekiel, the Bible talks about those that are in Sheol. They speak. They're consciously aware. They go on existing. You don't cease to exist when you die. The Bible talks about, in Psalms, it's a place of sorrow. In the New Testament, transliteration word for Sheol is Hades. It's defined as the unseen world, the place where the departed spirits of humans go following death. It's an actual place beyond the grave, beyond death. It's where in Hades, the place before Christ was crucified, the place where those saved spirits would go awaiting the resurrection. David had this faith. He mustered it up. He had a hope in the future. Lord, you're not going to leave my soul in Sheol. Somehow you're going to raise me up after I die, like my dad and my grandpa and his father and many of our loved ones and those around us. You're going to raise me up. It's a psalm about David. In verse 11, he said, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. It's a path of life for David. It's a psalm about Jesus. We can substantiate that fully. It's inspired. But if you notice in verse 3, David wrote by the unction of the Holy Spirit, as for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. See, only Jesus can make that reference. Not even David. Not Job, not Daniel, not Noah. No man living can make that statement, stand on that statement. Only Jesus can say, all my delight is upon your children, Father. For Jesus came, the Bible tells us, not to do his own will, but to do the Father's will. The Bible tells us that, he loved his own until the end. That he blessed them, that he gave to them. That he instructed them. He watched over them. Kept them in his fold, he mentions. In verse 8, we see that it's a psalm about Jesus, because there's another mention. Verse 8, it says, keep me as the apple. Oops, sorry, wrong. I have set the Lord always before me. No one can make that statement. You know, we can set the Lord before us sometimes, but not always. But Jesus did. He set the Lord always before him. I always do the will of the Father. I always do what pleases the Father. See, it's a psalm about Jesus. We know that for a fact. For it's quoted in the New Testament. I'm going to turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at what Peter says on the day of Pentecost. Look at verse 24. Or you don't have to go there. I'll read it. Peter, after being anointed, filled with the Holy Spirit, stood up and said, whom God raised up, speaking of Jesus, loosed the pains of death because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Verse 25, for David says concerning him, concerning who? Concerning Jesus. Then he quotes Psalm 16, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I might not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. See, only Jesus fits that scripture. For David died, was buried, his body decayed, but Jesus' body didn't decay. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. David says concerning Jesus, this psalm. Look at verse 31, chapter 2 of Acts. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. Speaking about Jesus. That's Peter's witness of what David said in Psalm 16. But Paul also makes reference to it over in chapter 13 of the book of Acts. If you turn there, a few chapters to the right. Paul says in verse 35, therefore, speaking of David, he also says in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Speaking of Jesus, it can be substantiated. Witnessed by Paul and Peter, that this is a psalm speaking about Jesus. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The Bible tells us he's at the right hand of the Father. Really the only one that can fill that scripture. You know, it's interesting because the Bible talks about the division of the land. And in the division of the land, you know, all the tribes but the Levites were apportioned a portion of land. The Levites were to get no inheritance of land, no parcels of land. The Bible tells us in the law, Moses wrote that God will be their inheritance. And again, you know, David being a Levite, only, you know, Jesus said, you know, birds of the air have nests, and, you know, fox have den, but Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus didn't own a home. He wasn't apportioned any land. He didn't inherit any land. He didn't build a house. Only Jesus can fit this scripture. Not only is it a psalm of David, a psalm that speaks about Jesus, but also for us, is a pathway of life and joy. It's kind of interesting because when you see it speaks about Jesus, kind of clears up all the fog to where we can identify the path. The other night we were playing softball, Thursday night. There was fog rising up from the outfield. Kind of looked eerie, you know, like we were playing on the bank of the swamps or something. But, you know, the recognition that it's about Jesus. He's the one. He's our path. He's the one that made the path. He's the pathway of life and joy, the path of eternal life. It's Christ. It's not you. It's not me. It's not David. It's not our ability to set before us the Lord always. It's not our ability, you know, to be occupied with the saints all the time. It's not within our ability to stay on the path. He's our path. He's the pathway of eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Look in the next chapter we read this morning in 17. Look in verse 5. Verse we read, uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip. It's your path, Lord. You are the path, the pathway of eternal life. That's what separates Jesus from every other religion. You know, we've heard that. You know, every other religion, Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, Hare Krishna, they all say, hey, this is the path to eternal life. Go that way. Walk that way. Where Jesus says, I'm the way. Follow me. He's the one that paved the road. He is the path. He is the path of life, the pathway of joy, the pathway of eternal life, spoken of in the psalm. The pathway of life and joy for us. You know, the truth that he's our salvation, the Bible tells us. Jesus is my sanctification. Jesus is my portion. Jesus is my inheritance. Jesus is the promised land. Jesus is the pathway. You know, one more passage here to read. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. It's in Romans. We just covered it here a few weeks ago. Man, is it good. In chapter 4, 22, the Bible says, and therefore it was accounted for him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone. It was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. His death, his resurrection, our righteousness, our resurrection. You know, how he's our pathway. It's not me. It's not you. It's not the law. It's not David. It's not the ability to keep the law. It's not our behavior. It's Jesus. That's why we worship him. That's why we follow him. He conquered death, the Bible says. Not only would he didn't see any corruption, nor will you leave my soul in Sheol, and you won't allow the Holy One to see corruption, but he conquered death. The Bible tells us that, you know, he went down into Hades, and he set the captives free, those that were saved before the cross. He let them go. Come on, you're with me. You're free. And, you know, he frees us. He's our life. He's our joy. He's our pathway. It's about Christ. Interesting, you know, you will show me the path of life. It's our cry. David's cry was based upon his faith. Our cry is based upon his blood. Oh, Lord, you know, because you shed your blood, I'm justified. I'm made righteous before you. Not my faith. It's through faith, but by, you know, his shed blood. That's our cry. You will show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Interesting, you know, he paved the way. The Bible talks about at the end of the path. In chapter 17 of Psalm 17, the last verse we read this morning, David said, you know, I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. You know, not only is our cry, but it's our hope. The end of the path. You know, the Bible tells us that it's ultimate glory. You know, it's as if, you know, the Bible talks about he's our cup, you know, and you're drinking out of the cup, and when the cup's all gone, you see his reflection in the bottom of the cup. That's the promise. We're going to be like him. You know, and he's our pathway. He's our path. He's our hope for the future. He conquered death. He's our resurrection. He is the resurrection and life, ultimate glory, conquering death. But our hope is by far more concrete than David's was. Our life, David spoke about his life, you know, based upon him being our salvation, him being our sanctification, him being our Passover, you know, him being our justification, our righteousness, our life, our forgiveness, our freedom, the way, the truth, the life, our eternal life, the Bible tells us. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this inspired psalm that speaks about Jesus thousands of years before he was born. And Lord, the truth that our pathway and path of eternal life only paved, but is only because of Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Lord, cover us with your shed blood. Lay your hand upon us, Lord. We know that eternal life is a gift, a free gift, that we can only receive, that you paid for, Lord, based upon Calvary. We ask, Lord, that you would deliver us from any deception or lie or fog or misconception. You free us, Lord. Save us. Sanctify us. Set us apart. Or that we walk on your path according to your plan. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. It's the pathway to joy. His presence, our blessings, our joy forevermore. Now may the Lord bless you, keep his hand upon you, cover you with his spirit. May he give you some non-slip, shod your feet with a gospel, gospel of peace, some non-slip shoes, stay on the path, to stay steady, to continue on the path of life, eternal life. And may he cover all of us with his blood. You know, there'd be no difference, the Bible talks about, you know, no distinction. We're all different. You notice that? But God has no difference. He pays no difference, no distinction. We're all saved and free and delivered by his blood, according to his grace. In Jesus' name, amen.